We were this close to finishing 1 Corinthians, but looks like we got to wait one more week. So I'm filling in for Mike this morning, for Pastor Mike. My name is Boat Newman, by the way. I think I know most people here, but Boat Newman is my name, and I'm the pastor of student ministries here. And so this morning, we're not going to finish out 1 Corinthians. I said I'm going to preach from the book of Luke today. I'm going to preach from the book of Luke in chapter 11, and so if you guys want to turn there, and as you're turning there, I believe Channing mentioned Operation Christmas Child, but also in the back, Chris Badge set up a table that's got the different boxes and pamphlets and stuff, so if your family or you at your house would like to do Operation Christmas Child, you can take a box or pamphlets and fill all that out, and we'd love, that's just a great way to serve people in other countries in the name of Jesus. So I want to encourage you to stop back there after service and check that out. So we're in Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to read 1 through 13, but I'm mostly, this morning, we're going to mostly talk about 5 through 13. But I want to start in verse 1 just to give us some context. I think context is really important. And so we're going to read 1 through 13, but again, I'm going to mostly focus on verse 5 and on. So let me read that this morning. Luke 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his sons ask for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray and ask some help for this. Father God, we come to you now and we're knocking. We're asking, we're seeking. We want to know you more. We want to know your truth. We want to know your son. We want to know you. And so we as we study this chapter in Luke, this passage in Luke, Lord, we pray that you can open our hearts and our minds that we may see the truth and the importance of seeking after you and asking you, Lord, for the good gifts that you have for us, for you are a good father, and we just pray that we can see that today and live in that. We pray things in your name, amen. All right, so most of you who know me know that I have 2 sons. I just recently had another son, Bo. Jack is my older one, he's 2 now, and then Bo is just a couple months, and I've been thinking a lot how much children teach you, and again, my children aren't very old, but they teach me a lot, even in the last couple years. One big thing that I find that children have taught me is how needy they are, right? Extremely needy, and they let you know in the most obvious way, correct? And many of you know my son Jack, and you know that his lungs are amazing. And he's very good at making very, very loud noises when he needs something, right? When he wants something, when something is bothering him, he is very vocal and clear. And our new son, Bo, obviously is a newborn, so he cries a lot too. He just doesn't quite have the lung capacity yet. But he also shows me that. The other thing that it teaches me kind of along that same line is it teaches me how much as a parent I want to fill those needs, right? As a parent, as a father, when my baby's crying, I want to fill those needs, and I want to do it the best way I can, and I want to do it in the best interest of the child, right? So sometimes that looks like my child needing to eat, so I feed him. And sometimes it looks like my child wanting to eat a Twinkie and me saying no, because it's in his best interest that he does not eat that, right? The third thing that it really has showed me that kind of again along this is how insufficient I can be as a father to fulfill those needs. We all, right, as parents, we do our best and we try really hard, but in the end, we're decently insufficient at completely fulfilling the needs of our children. In this passage that we're going to dig into, Jesus is giving a command to ask the Father, to ask God for things when we want them, when we need them, to come to Him, to knock, to ask. And he sandwiches it between two illustrations of how to do it. And so this is kind of a style of writing, a style of teaching that is pretty common from this time period, especially in Hebrew and even in Greek too, but where they give an illustration and they give a main point and they say the main point again and then they give another illustration. And so that's what we have here. And so this morning, as we kind of tear into this and look into this, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to look at the first illustration and then the second illustration, and then I want to hit on the main point because I think the second illustration kind of helps explain the first. And so that's how we're going to go through it this morning. And so he starts with, of course, I guess the reason I wanted to read 1 through 4 so we can look at the original question, right? There was an original question, original ask. This was actually started with an ask, with them asking Jesus himself a question of, can you teach us how to pray? Can you teach us how to pray? Jesus was praying, and he did that all the time. He went off by himself, he prayed, can you teach us how to pray? And then he tells them what we now know as the Lord's Prayer, what we now call the Lord's Prayer. And you'll notice this is a little bit different than it is in Matthew, but it's very, very similar than it is in Matthew, and he tells them the Lord's Prayer. But then he follows it up, and that's the point of this next passage, is to kind of, okay, and here is kind of the mindset you need to have when you're praying this. Here's kind of why I'm telling you to pray this way. And so the first illustration that he gives is a parable. It's a story. It was kind of confusing about it. It was kind of hard to learn. It's a really long question. It's like a really long rhetorical question, right? You know, we use rhetorical questions to try to get people to think about stuff. Well, surely, if you were in the situation, wouldn't you do this? And that's the kind of question that Jesus is asking them. And let me just read it again real quick. So it's, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Now, when I first started reading this parable, it's really confusing to me because a lot of parables, if you ever notice, that Jesus taught, have one character that kind of represents us and another character that represents God or himself. And the problem with that is the one who seems like, right, in this story, the one who seems like would represent God himself is the one in the house with the bread, right, with the kids. But this guy's not super nice, right? And so you're kind of questioning, how could this be an example of God? That's what's kind of different about this parable. And again, we'll kind of get to this, but in this parable, this is to kind of show how God works with us, but it's also to show how greater God deals with us than we deal with each other, right? He's using this situation to show, you think this guy did it right here, God does it even better. God does it even more correctly than this guy does. So that's kind of what he's getting at. So this man, he's it's midnight, it's late at night, and he had a friend that's traveling through, and this friend needs food, he needs a meal, and this guy has no bread, he has no food, and so he goes to his neighbor, and he really needs food to serve, because again, hospitality is really huge, especially in this culture, but I think it should be for us as well. And he needs the bread, and he gives us this idea. And I think this quote that he gives for the man is kind of almost just to show us what this guy is thinking. It's like, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything, right? And again, I have newborn children, so I totally get it. If someone came just banging on the door and woke up my children, it's a mess, right? And it's not something I'm very excited for, because I'm going to be up for the next couple hours fixing that. But Again, even though this man says, I cannot do it, Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up from because of his friend, yet because of his impudence, which isn't a very nice word, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And different translations use different words, but the idea, and there's also kind of been a question of whose impudence. Are we talking about the guy with the bread or the guy who's asking for the bread? And it seems pretty clear to me that he's talking about the man who's asking for it and just saying, this man, he's continually coming back. At midnight, he's continually knocking again. And because he's continually coming and asking and asking and asking, eventually the man will give just because of that. Just because at this point, my children are awake and I need to fix things. And the first thing I need to do is get this man away, give him some bread, let him go. And then I can deal with the problem of getting my children back to sleep and going back to bed myself. And so again, this lesson of what he's trying to say is that even sinful people, even people who don't always have the best intentions, still help people, right? And I think we can relate with that, right? Like in Nebraska, man, we help people a lot. You know, we know we're not perfect and we're plenty sinful, but we help people, right? When things go wrong, when someone needs help, we help them. And that's what Jesus is kind of trying to say. He's trying to get that point across. And so that kind of leaves it open-ended, and he gives this commandment. But again, before we get to the commandment, I want to go to the second story, and I want to focus a little bit more on that because I think his second illustration really helps tie everything together. And so in verses 11 through 13, Jesus gives another illustration of what it looks like to come to the Father, to come to someone and ask. But he's not talking about a neighbor in the middle of the night. He's talking specifically about a father and specifically eventually himself and what the results can be and should be in those situations. And so let me just read it for you real quick. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And again, I think this really helps us understand that first, right? Because saying, just like that man in the beginning, who he's sinful, but he still did a good thing. Fathers, all fathers, I know there's many fathers in this room, including myself and mothers as well, we're sinful. We're sinful people. We fail. Yet, we still try. We still try very hard to fill the needs of our children, and we do best. And if your son comes to you and asks for a rattlesnake, you're not going to give him one, right? You're not going to do that. But if he comes and asks for a loaf of bread, and if he needs food, you'll give it to him, right? And I think that's what he's trying to get across is, look, you know, as a father, how to give good gifts. But even more so, if you know how to give good gifts, think of the father of all, the father, the one who created everything. Think of how good of gifts he can give, what he is able to supply. And so we're going to touch on this. We're going to come back to this a little bit and as I get further into it. But the command then in the middle, the main command, again, is telling us what to do. How do we do this then? So if he's this good father, if he gives better gifts than man does, if he is better at helping the needy than man is, if he always gives good gifts, then we should ask. And that's 9 and 10. Let me read it for you. And again, 9 and 10 are very similar verses. He's saying the main point, and then he's saying it one more time in just slightly different words, but very similar. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. And so to these stories, he's adding this command. So knock. So ask. So seek. And not only will he give a good gift? He will always give a good gift. Every time. Every time he will give you a good gift. Every time you knock. And I love it. He gives three different examples, right? It's knock, seek, and ask, right? And he says the three things both times. And again, I think this is emphasis. A lot of times we say three things in these different ways, even though they mean the same thing, for emphasis. Do it. Ask. Seek. Knock. Ask. Seek. Knock. And I promise you, you'll give a good gift. That's what's so amazing about this passage, about this. This is a promise. This is truth. Like, this is Jesus saying, if you do this, it will happen. Right? If you ask, a good gift will be given. I don't know about you guys, but I don't use that as much as I should. I don't that blessing, that gift. I spend so much time sitting in my own worries and trying to figure out how I'm going to solve something, or sitting in my own needs, that I don't take the time to talk to God about it at all and ask Him at all. But let's ask a question, right? There's a good question here, right? Whenever I study something, I'm kind of known as a devil's advocate, and I kind of just challenge everything. And I think the question here is, right, well, so is he saying that I can ask for anything, and he is promising that I will get it? If I ask for something, whatever I ask for, I will get it. And I think what he is saying here is not that. I think he's saying, if you ask, you will be given a gift, and that gift will be good. If you ask, you will be given a gift, and that gift will be good. Because he always gives good gifts. Because again, like I said earlier, you know, he talks about someone asking for a bread and giving us, and then well, you wouldn't give him a snake. I think sometimes we ask for snakes. We don't know we ask for snakes, but that's, we think we're asking for bread, but we're asking for snakes, and God knows better, and he gives us something else. There's a pastor. He wrote a poem. Kind of, I'm not going to read it. It's kind of a long poem, so I'm not going to read it. But he in the poem, he kind of gives this illustration of, and he's actually using in Matthew 7, there's the same idea, but instead of a scorpion and an egg, he talks about a stone. He talks about a stone and bread, and so he says, let's say, and this, he's painting a picture of this poem. He says, so let's say you're out on a boat. And there's a storm, and the storm is just pushing you around, and you just are being pushed to and fro and all this kind of place. And while this is happening, you need to be anchored down somewhere. You need to get somewhere where you can stay settled in the storm, right? But while this is happening, you're thinking, man, I am hungry. I'm going to ask God for some bread. Well, in that moment, God's probably not going to give the guy bread. He's going to give him a rock as an anchor, right? Or again, if a person were bitten by a snake, and during that time they're thinking, man, I'm hungry, I sure like an egg right now. The most important thing you need right now is not an egg. You need a cure made from the viper of that snake in order to fix that bite, right? And again, just helping us illustrate and understand it, and we get that, right? Like, I don't know if you know this, but we're not always that great at, one, knowing what we want, and also understanding what other people want and then giving them a good gift. So it's kind of hard for us to understand sometimes the gifts that God gives us, right? I give you a pretty easy example. I think most of us know people who don't understand giving good gifts well, and other people who do. So I'm a person, I don't give good gifts well. So when I was a kid, I do stuff like this still now today, but when I was younger, I had older sisters, and it'd be their birthday, and so I would get them the newest X-Men movie for their birthday, because I'm like, look, I got this for your birthday. You guys want to watch it right now? You know? Because obviously I got it for myself, but like, surely you like it too, don't you? You know? And so that's an example of someone who doesn't understand the purpose of a good gift, right? Because a good gift is to help someone, to fill their needs. Now, someone who's really, really good at giving gifts is my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, Carla, is super good at gifts. She asks all year round what you want for Christmas, what you want for your birthday, and kind of what you need and what you're doing. And she gives you something that is really helpful, whether it be a coat because your old coat wore out, or a new pair of boots because your boots wore out, or whatever it may be. She always gives really, really good gifts because she's paying attention and she's seeing what I actually need and what I would actually use and what would actually help me, right? And so that is our Father. But the truth is, either way, I love this emphasis, you've got to ask. We've got to be people that are asking, that are seeking, that are knocking. Because again, this is a beautiful promise that whatever we ask for, we will receive. And I can't finish this passage without mentioning the end. So again, in Matthew 7, it ends a little bit differently. In Matthew 7, it says, your Father then in heaven, what good things will he give? You know, well, he will also give good things. But in this, in verse 13, it says something a little different. I think extremely similar. It's just follow with me here. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, when I read that, I thought that was really confusing. So I'm like, wait, so this whole time, is he just talking about us asking for the Holy Spirit? Is that the, and is, you know, and is he, there's all this story, this egg and bread and food and all these things, and is he doing that because he wants us to have the Holy Spirit? Is that it? And here's my understanding, and we're actually going to go back to the Lord's Prayer real quick to help us answer this, but I think it's because the greatest gift you can have is the Holy Spirit. I think he's trying to show, look, he'll give good gifts, even the Holy Spirit, because what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's himself. The Holy Spirit's his power. The Holy Spirit's his presence. Right? What greater gift could there be? What situation could you be in that the Holy Spirit wouldn't be the best gift you could get in that moment? His presence, his power, his love, his grace, his truth. What better situation, what situation would that not be for? What situation would that not fit in? Because I think we see the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom like he gave them here, right? He taught them how to pray. And I think this helps us be good askers. I think this helps us be good seekers, be good knockers, the Lord's Prayer. So let's look, we'll just look at this Luke 1, even though, again, we know one that has a few other things added to it. But let's look at this one, right? He says, Father, right? First of all, it starts with Father. It starts with Father. Father, ask. Father, give. Father, I seek. Father, I come to you with this. And I have to stop real quick, and I have to pause. And I have to just, I didn't have Brandon put it up, but in Ephesians 1 and 2, it talks about how all are born children of wrath. And so when you're born, the children, your father, or the one you've come from, is wrath. That's who you are of. You are of wrath. You are in the same boat as Satan and those who are evil. And that is where you are, and that's who you are. But it says, if you call upon the name of Christ, if you trust in faith alone in Christ, you are adopted into the family of God, and you are God's, and he is your Father. And so if that is the case, you can pray like Jesus says, Father, and hallowed be your name, holy be your name, asking. Again, this is knocking. You ever think about that? You ever think about that this is actually asking God to do something, the Lord's Prayer? You're asking that his name be holy. You're asking that his kingdom come. You're asking that every day you get your daily bread. And I think that's something that in some ways we're good at and some days we're not, right? Like a lot of times maybe we will pray before a meal or we'll pray for these physical things that we need. But I think he's saying you can do it even more than you already do it. I think he's saying even more than you already asked for food, than you already asked for these physical needs. I think he's saying you can do it even more than that. Just ask. Ask for everything. Continue to ask. And then this great one, what's a greater gift than this? Forgive us our sins. What's a greater ask? What's a greater gift than the forgiveness of your sins? Right? That can only be given by God. That can only be given by Christ who died on the cross for the sins of those who believe. What a greater gift can we ask for than that? For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And then, of course, lead us not into temptation. Let us not be in a place where we are tempted by sin, but that instead we can serve you. I think this helps, gives us guidelines. And I think those prayers are answered by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who answers those questions. It is through the Holy Spirit that God's name is made holy. It is through the Holy Spirit that his kingdom comes. It's through the Holy Spirit's power and gifting that we are able to get our daily bread. It is through the Holy Spirit that our forgiveness of our sins is realized and we are sealed for the promise of God forever. It is through the Holy Spirit that we will not be led into temptation. It is through that power. So, as we close out this morning, as we kind of end it, as we come to an end, as we're thinking about this passage this morning, I do really want to challenge you because it's a huge challenge for myself. I know I do ministry for a living and I do all these things, but honestly, coming to God in prayer is something I have quite a challenge with. To be completely honest with you, it's something that I don't do enough. Again, I sit there and I dwell on my problems. And I worry, and I fear, and I stress out. And as I've been studying this, it's been so encouraging to just be like, wait, I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to knock. I'm just going to seek for some answers, and I'm going to leave it there because I know he's going to answer because he promised he would. And the answer is going to be good. It's going to be a good gift. It's going to be a better gift than I can imagine because I may think I know how to give good gifts, but I obviously don't, right? I don't know how to give gifts, so why do I think I know what the best gift is for this situation? But God does. He's a good father. And he knows how to give good gifts. And so I know this is a promise that if I ask him, I will get a gift. And so my challenge here, a challenge to us is like, stop sitting in it. Stop dwelling on it and just ask. Just knock. Just seek and you will be answered. That's a promise. If you are trusting in faith, if God is your Father, if you are a child of God, if you are trusting in the death of Christ, you can do this. We can do this. How much more does this change your life, right? Especially in 2020, especially in everything going on. Whether it's on a world scale, on an American scale, on your personal life, how much can this mean that there is a Father who is good and he gives good gifts? I know there's many good fathers and good mothers in this room. But God is the great Father. He is the great Father who gives great gifts, even the Holy Spirit. And so, again, I pray that as we continue, we get closer to Thanksgiving, we get closer to the holidays, and things will even get crazier with everything going on in our country and in the world. I pray that we be a people that are knocking and that are seeking after God, knowing that he will give good gifts. Let me pray. Father God, we do thank you for this opportunity to worship together, to pray together, to seek after you. Father, I pray, I'm knocking now, I'm asking now, I'm seeking you now, that we can know you first as our Father, that we can have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can fill us, and you will be with us through the Holy Spirit, you living in us, Father. And I pray that we seek and we ask in all situations that, Lord, we know and we trust and we believe and we take joy in the good Father who gives. Father, we praise things in your name. Amen.